Let's get into our message. Tim, you know, I hate that little clock thing up there, but it's very useful. Once there was a man, his name was Abram. And one day the Lord, he came to talk to Abram, and Abram asked, "Who will have all my things when I die?" And God promised Abram and his wife Sarai that one day they would be parents, even though they were very old, and at that time they didn't have any children. God wasn't really sure that Abram understood. And so that night he takes him outside and he says, "Look up in the stars. Look up in the sky and see all the stars and count them if you can." And when Abram looked up, the entire night sky, it just filled with stars, more stars than you could ever count. And God said, "That is how many children you will have." Quite a few years later, when Abram was 99 years old, older than most of your grandparents, older than probably all of us in here? Yeah, okay. The Lord decided to change Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many. He also changed Sarai's name to Sarah. God told them again that they were going to be parents and that they would have a boy. This time, Abraham kind of laughed and so hard that he actually fell down. See, it was hard to believe that he and Sarah would have a child in their old age. And then one day, some years later, three visitors come to Abraham's house. "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they asked. Abraham thought that it was a little bit strange, but he replied, "She's in the other room." And then one of the men, they actually spoke up and they said, "I will come back to see you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Now, Sarah, she was listening there in the other room of that tent. She started to laugh a little bit, but she couldn't laugh, not wanting to laugh out loud. She didn't want to be heard. She says to herself, "How can I have a child? I'm almost 100 years old." Later on, when the visitors had left, Abraham and Sarah realized that the man who had spoken up, who told him this, was indeed God. A year later, Sarah did have a son. She and Abraham named him Isaac, which means he laughs. They were very excited, and they remembered to thank God for Isaac. Today, as we continue working our way through our summer series, these children's stories, the stories that you would have heard as you were in Sunday school or in children's church, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, which is the heroes of faith. Today, we're talking about Sarah. Our scripture is found in Hebrews 11, verse 11. And I have to admit that it's one of those where you almost go, "Well, I'm just going to pass over this verse." You know, we just talked about Abraham last week. We'll talk about him some more. And in some translations, some versions, Sarah's name's not even listed. It says, "And Abraham, even though he was old, his wife was able to conceive." They don't even really give her credit. But then, as I was rereading through the scripture, I thought, no, we need to address this. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand. We're going to read through our scripture, one real quick verse, and then you can keep standing through the rest of the message. Now you can have a seat after that. Our scripture, it says in Hebrews 11:11, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now God, he commended Sarah for her faith. She was important to God, and God wanted women everywhere to admire Sarah just as much as he did. In fact, Sarah is the most mentioned woman in the Bible. Her name actually appears some 57 different times. But the problem for most people, for most of us, is that Sarah, she doesn't really seem all that impressive. Most folks don't think about Sarah's faith. When you think of Sarah, maybe you remember that she was like 90 years old when she gave birth. Maybe you remember that she kind of laughed, chuckled when God said that she was going to have a child. Or maybe, just maybe you remember that story where she's a very beautiful woman, and so Abraham actually asked her to lie, to tell people that he was her brother so that they wouldn't kill him in order to try to get to her. But that's a lot of what we remember. But here, our scripture tells us, by faith, Sarah. She did something very impressive. And so what exactly is it that she did? Well, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Really? That's it? Doesn't seem all that impressive, does it? Maybe not really the way we remember the story as it's being told. We remember that Sarah, she's going to have a child, and she laughs, and God seems to rebuke her or maybe to call her out a little bit on that laughter. Doesn't sound like a woman who actually considers God to be faithful, does it? Doesn't sound like a woman who believed that God was actually going to give her a child after all those years. But you see, we have to backtrack a little bit. Actually, we have to backtrack about 25 years. Because it's 25 years before that Sarah gave birth. And God, he sits down with Abram. And he said to him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. See, God's going to make of Abram a great nation. And that's a great promise. It's a very big promise that God is making to Abram. But you see, there's one problem with that. Abram and Sarah, they don't have any kids. They don't even have one child, none at all. You can't become a great nation if you don't have any kids. But here God was saying, if you go where I am telling you to go, then I will take care of making you that great nation. Implied in that statement is this idea. I'll make sure that you have at least one child. And at the time that all that is taking place, Abram is 75 and Sarai is 65. Now you fast forward just a few years. Abram's about 85, Sarai is about 75. And Abraham said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. You have given me no offspring. Behold, the word of the Lord, it came to him. This man, Eleazar, shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and he says, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be. And Abram, he believed the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And so, but they don't have any more children. A couple more years drag by. There's still no child. And so Sarai, she gets impatient. And so she herself, she comes up with this brilliant idea. In Genesis 16, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. There was another preacher who had some comments on this as I was working through some of this. And it's worth repeating. He says, Abraham is referred to in the Bible as a man of great faith. But in accepting Sarah's advice to sleep with Hagar, he must have been a few cheeseburgers shy of a Happy Meal. You see, it was a bad idea. And it all backfired really big time. We're not going to go into particulars of that. Maybe it's another rabbit hole to chase for some other day. Suffice it to say, it was a terrible idea. And it was Sarah's idea. You see, she was tired of waiting for God. And so she comes up with her own solution. Why would a woman of great faith even suggest something like that? Well, we don't know. There's nothing in Scripture that gives us any ideas or any indication. And then about 15 years later, God shows up and he says that Sarah will have a child, and she laughs. Now, I hate to say it, but it doesn't really sound like a woman who is considering God to be faithful to his promise, does it? And so maybe you're sitting there going, well, what's going on with all this? Well, Where do we learn about Sarah's decisions, the thing that she does on this issue? We learn about it in the Bible. And who is it that gave us the Bible? Well, we all know God gave us the Bible. And so here in this whole thing, we have God telling us all about Sarah's shortcomings, all about this, so that we could somehow learn about Sarah. And you know what? God still praised her for her faith. And so it's obvious somehow that God is trying to tell us something here, but what is it that God's trying to tell us? Well, I believe that God is trying to tell us that great faith does not mean that you won't have doubts. Listen to that again. Great faith does not mean that you won't have doubts. Abraham, he had doubts. We read here that Sarah, she had doubts. In fact, Jacob, who God renamed Israel, he had doubts. Moses had doubts. Joshua had doubts. David had doubts. Esther had doubts. In fact, almost every single person, practically all of the people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, which is our heroes of faith, every one of them at one point in time had doubts. In Psalms chapter 13, David wrote, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 5, "Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days?" People of faith, they do have doubts. But they don't stay there. They don't dwell there in that doubt. They don't live there. They don't remain there in their doubt. Eventually, they make a choice that they are going to believe in spite of what they see and in spite of what they experience. Someone wrote, "Sometimes you have to look reality in the eye and deny it." Someone else noted that faith, it puts God between us and our reality. My point is this. It's not unusual for people of faith to experience doubt. But somewhere along the way, somewhere along the line, you are going, if you're going to be a person of faith, you have to decide that you're going to trust God. It doesn't matter how much you have doubted in the past. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. Once you get to that point where you make that decision, hey, I'm going to put my trust in God, I'm going to put my faith in God, you lay all those doubts aside. And that's when your walk of faith, when it truly begins, when you are walking in faith with God. But how do I get to the point of faith? How do I get to the point where I trust God? Well, it's hard. It's definitely a hard point to be at, a hard place. D.L. Moody, he once said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. And then one day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and been praying for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study. And faith has been growing ever since." See, in there tells us faith comes by hearing. And I think that is exactly how Sarah became a woman of faith. She heard God. And once she heard him, her doubts began to fade. Genesis chapter 18, it tells us, Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, and so she kind of lied, and she said, "Well, I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Now, I don't think God was offended by Sarah's laughter. I think God is actually bigger than laughter. And according to one expert, get this, there's an expert who actually studies, of all things, laughter. This person is an expert on laughter. One of the remarkable things about laughter is that it occurs unconsciously. You don't just decide that you're going to laugh. Sure, you can pretend to laugh and you can come up with this fake laughter if you want, but you cannot just fake real laughter. It doesn't come up on command. Now, Teo, he's just fun. And he and I've kind of taught him. I go, hey, Teo, and I'll give him this real mean look. And he'll look back at me the same way. And we look at each other. We stare at each other for just a few moments with his mean face. And then all of a sudden we break out in this, all this laughter and stuff. See, you can pretend like you're laughing, but real laughter, real laughter, it is something that comes unconsciously. And I think that's exactly what happened with Sarah. She wasn't trying to mock God. It's just that after all of those years, all of that stuff, all of that the talk, she still struggled with her feelings of doubt. But now Sarah, she has actually heard from God himself. She has heard from God. And she heard three things. First, she heard that God had heard her laugh. See, she's hiding in another part of the tent. She's back there, and she doesn't think that somehow God can hear her as she chuckles a little bit. But she forgot that that was God. It didn't matter if she was 3 miles away or 300 miles away or 3,000 miles away. God could hear her because God knew her inward thoughts, and God knows your inward thoughts as well. She thought she could hide her feelings from God, but she couldn't, and neither can any of us. Second, for the first time, she had personally heard God's promise. You see, up until this point of time, God had always been making the promise to Abraham. He had spoken this promise to Abraham. But now Sarah was right there, and she heard the promise. She had heard God say, "I will return to you at this appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And third, God said something that Sarah had probably never, ever even thought about. God said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God?" You know, people who struggle in their faith, they struggle with that very idea. You see, they are faced with these problems. They are faced with these obstacles, things that they cannot handle. And they simply wonder and they worry. Maybe that God doesn't care, or that maybe he just isn't up to the challenge. And it never really crosses their mind while they're in there struggling and whatever it is they're struggling with, that God might really care. And that God just might be big enough to handle whatever it is they're facing. But you see, sooner or later, you have got to make that decision. You have got to get this personal. You've got to make it personal and come to the point where you've decided that you are going to trust God. No matter what, God is bigger than your problems. See, God asked the question, "Is anything too hard for me?" He asked that question several times in scriptures. One of those times in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 2, where God asks Israel, "Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you?" Now imagine, and I know there are a couple of us in here who could do this. Imagine you're a 5-foot-tall woman, and you're trying to reach something up on the top shelf. It's in the cabinet, and it's way up on the very top, and you're trying to reach, and you can't get to it. So you grab a stool, and you try, and you grab a chair, and you try, and you still can't reach it. But you realize that you have a 7-foot basketball-playing son, and he's tall. He has to duck whenever he goes through a door because doors aren't 7 feet tall. And so he has to duck. And so you look over to him and say, "Hey, can you get this thing off the top shelf for me? I can't do it, but I know that you can." You ever been in that spot? You see, that's what faith is all about. It's coming to the point where you recognize that you cannot do it, but that God can. God's arm is not too short to help you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it puts it this way. God is able to do immensely more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God can do immensely more than you could ever ask or imagine. Nothing is too hard for God. And I believe that's exactly what changed inside Sarah. She heard God and she believed him. And ultimately she said, God has brought me laughter and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She gave birth to the child that God had promised. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a situation, it just seems extremely hard and you wrestle with it. But later on down the line, as you kind of look back, you almost chuckle about it at times, the things that have happened to you. Now, you might think that right there, then that would be the end of the story. You would think that the birth of Isaac, according to this promise, would be the last laugh. But it wasn't. And as Paul Harvey used to say, this is the rest of the story. Believe it or not, the Apostle Paul tells us that when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, Isaac's birth was a reflection of our own salvation. Remember, every story somehow has to point us back to Jesus Christ and stuff. Galatians chapter 4, it tells us Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now you, like Isaac, are children of promise. We're not going to go into a big explanation again. We got other rabbit holes we can chase later on if we want to. The point is this. Sarah, she couldn't do anything to get pregnant. I am sure that over the years, she and Abraham had tried and tried and tried again, and nothing seemed to happen. And in the same way, the Bible teaches us that there is nothing that any of us can do to be saved. You can do anything and everything you want to, over and over again for years, and nothing will happen. We cannot earn our way into heaven. No works, no nothing will get us there. The only way we get into heaven is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us, by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nothing you can do to earn salvation. Simply accept Jesus Christ, who is God's free gift to us. And then after you accept Jesus Christ, as you're on your journey, as you're taking that faith journey, learning to trust him more and more and more. Learning to, when God asks you to do something, to step out beyond yourself, to step out beyond your faith to what God is asking you to do. And when you get there, he will be with you. He's already been there ahead of you. Question is, are we willing to continue to step out in faith, going where it is that God is asking us to go?